age that those injuries that happened to me when I was a teenager playing sports are now coming back to work against me. But I am thankful in the morning that I can get out of bed, Amen. Walk around, Amen. And I can come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Trust me, I do not take that for granted. I do not take that for granted. And it's like we are just so blessed to be in the house of the Lord today on this beautiful Mother's Day. Amen. Amen. It's just going to be a glorious day. We don't know what your plans are for the day, but we trust you as families, and especially for you moms and moms-to-be, you are just blessed today, that the power of God will just, the power of the joy of the Lord will rest upon you today. It's been a difficult winter. It's been a difficult season. God has brought us through again. Amen. You know, you don't really have to say that. Like if you live down at like, you know, Tampa or Miami, you don't have to say, well, it's been a difficult winter. Like they have like a frost once a year, if that. But I tell you what, God has been gracious to us. We live in a beautiful place in the United States, and we are just blessed to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's see. Would you just tell them to come in here? We're starting. They can clean up later. So would you please stand? We're going to pray, and we are going to then sing about the only King forever. Amen. God, we thank you, Father, for this day. This glorious day, God, we thank you for our mothers, Father. What a blessing they are to our lives. And God, right now in Jesus' name, we pray for the moms in this house and within the hearing of our voice, that your Holy Spirit will minister to them in a special way today, Father. But God, I thank you for my mother, a godly mother, and I thank you for all of our mothers, dear God. We pray a blessing upon this day. And Father, these moms and dads and daughters and sons and everyone has come to this house to worship you and you alone in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, worship with us, the only King forever.
Bring our
You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious.
Thank you.
the breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Couldn't earn. servant, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
It's your body and your blood you shed for me.
me. This is how I fight my battles. And I believe you've overcome, and I will lift my song of praise for all you've done. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. In the valley, I know that you're with me. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow me. So my weapons are praise and thanksgiving. And this is how I fight my battles. And I believe you've overcome.
Victory. My victory is in Jesus' name.
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 Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "You are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this rock will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church, my legislative assembly. And the power of death will not be able to overpower it. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Lord, I thank you that you have given us. You have given us a responsibility. You have told us, God, in many different ways what our purpose is on this earth, God. I thank you, God, that you have established the church on the earth to bring forth the laws of heaven, if you will, and what heaven desires to be seen on earth. And we have been given a responsibility to carry that out. I know I prayed a little bit last week about Hannah. How many of you know that Hannah was passionate about it? The scripture doesn't reveal that she knew in her heart that the word of God was kind of rare in those days, but the Bible tells us that it was. And we don't know if Hannah cried out for a prophet to be born to bring the word of God. We don't know. It hasn't been revealed. But what is revealed is that God, she said, God, if you would give me a son, then I will dedicate him to you and I will give him back to you. There are few places in Scripture where that kind of passion is revealed, that you're willing to receive the full-on blessing of God, but then give it all back to him to use for his purpose. Doing, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived changed the course of a nation and ultimately ended up anointing King David to bring forth a man after God's own heart. God, I pray this morning, God, that you would stir up that kind of passion in us, God. I think it's even interesting when there was a drought in the land that Elijah took the birthing position. Thought that was an interesting that when he prayed, and it said that he put a sound. He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear the sound. And it came from a birthing position, and he made a declaration over the land that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Come on. How many of you hear the sound of the abundance of rain? The abundance of the outpouring of God in our nation. God, we need the sound of the abundance of rain in our lives. God, forgive us, Lord, that we come into church and we're a little dead, if I can say it. God, I pray that you would ignite a passion in our hearts, God, to pray like Hannah prayed, that God, I want everything that you have for me. And when you give it to me, I'm going to give it back to you so that you can multiply it, so that you can use it for your glory. You know, the Word of God says that we're the legislative assembly. That's what the Word of God says. How are we doing? The absence of the presence of God. We have a mandate to bring forth the presence of God. Amen. We need you. Can you just tell him, God, I need you. I don't know about you, but I can't stand it when I'm dead, when I feel like I'm not passionate about the kingdom. We should be completely intolerant of not having passion for the kingdom. Completely intolerant. That we press in and we press in and we press in until we lay a hold of the living God, the Spirit of God, the power of God that lights that fire within us. That we lay our hearts on the altar and the Lord sends the fire and consumes the sacrifice of our hearts. Every week to pray for healing in this house. So we're going to do that again. If you need a healing, I want you to signify by raising your hand. We're going to keep asking and we're going to keep asking. We're going to keep praying and we're going to keep praying. Because the word of the Lord says that He heals all of our diseases. If you see a hand raised, I'd like you to move towards that hand. God, forgive us in our hearts where we say, if anyone's saying in here right now that I've asked so many times and I haven't received it, because today might be your day. So get your hand up. Raise your hand if you don't have to tolerate disease. You don't have to accept it as part of your life. Let it be on the earth as it is in heaven. How many of you know there's no disease in heaven? So Lord, just begin to pray for that person. You don't have to ask them what they have or what's wrong. We just pray right now, God, that You release Your healing power. God, we receive Your healing power, God, by Your death on the cross. That Your blood was shed. Your body was broken, that ours would be made whole. And God, I'm asking right now that the power of God come in this house and touch every heart, touch every hand that has been raised to receive a healing from the living God, because Jesus took all of that on the cross. God, I pray for minds this morning, minds that are confused about truth. And I'm asking God for a download of truth into our hearts and minds, God. I'm asking that You touch souls that are broken, that have wounds and traumas from experiences from their past. I'm asking, God, that You release healing right now into their minds, into their hearts, into their souls, God. I pray, God, that You would touch this house physically, God, and bring a complete and total healing, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place, God. Stir us up, God. Stir us up, Holy Spirit. Come in this place. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God, for touching physical bodies. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. Just begin to thank God for touching you. Just begin to thank God for healing you in whatever way you need it, for whatever way you have lifted up your faith to receive it. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the Spirit of God that dwells within us, God. We thank You, Lord, for the day of Pentecost when the fire of the Holy Spirit came into these temples, into our bodies. It's what makes us bold. It's what makes us able. It's what saves us. It's what seals us, the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, church, lift up your voice and put a sound into the atmosphere. Put a sound into the atmosphere that I'm not going to settle for anything less than what the Word of God says I can have. Hallelujah. God, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Come on, church. We have to learn to thank the living God. We have to learn to thank God with our voices. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We just love You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. God, we thank You for the moms in this house today. God, we thank You for females. Let there be no confusion that You are born female for a reason, because God set You aside as a female. He has designated the gender from the day you were born, from the day you were conceived in your mother's womb. I knew you, the Word of God says. How many of you know that God knows if you're a boy or a girl? God knows. Because He made you and He formed you and He knew you in your mother's womb. God, I bless the moms in this place today. God, I thank You that we came with a purpose, that package was already in the womb when we were formed. And there are books written about every person that was born on this earth. How many of you know that? How many of you know you didn't come with instructions? But you came with the person who gives you instructions. How many times have we heard mom say that I didn't get an instruction book with you? But you came from the place that gives you the instruction. That God sent forth your soul from heaven. That's where you came from. That's where you came from. You are not an accident. You have a purpose and a plan. There is a plan for your life. It's God's plan. The word says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." But we must make a decision to lay a hold of the plans that God has for us. Because how many of you know that the enemy is waiting to steal it from you? You have to make a decision. There has to be a decision that's made. A decision that's made that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As individuals, we have to make a decision that I will serve the Lord no matter what, no matter how I feel. How many of you know that how you feel doesn't define God? How you feel doesn't define truth. Our feelings should line up with truth. Our truth is not determined by our feelings. Our feelings should line up with the Word of God always, always, always. Don't let the world deceive you that how you feel is your truth. God, I thank you that you are looking for men and women of God right now. You are looking for men and women of God right now to say yes. To say yes to you. As much as the enemy is accelerating on the earth, so is God. So is God accelerating on His people. And He's pouring out His Spirit upon you. He is looking for a yes, God, no matter what it takes. I want to surrender my life to you. Is there anybody in here right now that wants to surrender their life to God? Is there anyone that wants to say yes to God? I'll do whatever you ask me to do. No matter how much pain I have to go through, no matter what it costs me, even if it costs me my job, even if it costs me friends, God, I want to do whatever you have for me because I know that I cannot lose. I cannot lose with God. God, I bless this house to receive the word this morning because I know it's going to be a good one. Lord, we thank you so much for the word of God. We pray for the anointing on it, God, that it would break down the walls of our heart, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would enlarge our hearts, God, like the sands of the seashore, like you said in 1 Kings 4 to Solomon, I'm going to enlarge your heart. God, I pray that we would be able to feel the love of God in our hearts this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would just visit us, God, and just give us a revelation of your Spirit, Lord, of how much we're loved by you. How many of you know that you're so loved by God? Say, I'm so loved by God. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just love you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Tell somebody happy Mother's Day. Man, if you missed Thursday, National Day of Prayer, I'll tell you what, Brother Phil Cappuccio brought a powerful word. Amen. He had Jersey Shore on their feet, can I tell you? Yep. It was a powerful word. Amen. And he used the analogy of a chess. It was a painting of a chess game. It's called Checkmate. And the point was that basically our king has one more move.
That's right.
And it's so encouraging. And you know the anointing and the power of God was on it when Jersey Shore stands to their feet in a junior high school building. Just an amazing word from Brother Phil. We just thank him so much for making the trip up here to bring the word. I have the scripture.
Okay.
Read it.
You go.
Okay. I'm going to be reading in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. I just wanted to thank the guys this morning.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're so blessed. We're so blessed by that. We're always blessed by food. So thank you so much. And thank you. They're not in here right now, but some of the teachers are in here. They just give up some thanks for those that teach the kids every week.
Yeah, amen.
We just so appreciate that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, guys. Actually, well, anyway. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and put a table and a chair and a lampstand, and so it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." The right one?
Story goes, the father of five children recalling to a friend, "When we had our first child and the baby dropped its pacifier, we would boil it in hot water for 10 minutes. By the time the fifth one came along, when the baby dropped the pacifier, we'd send the dog to fetch it." You with multiple children, I'm the youngest of five children, I can attest there's some truth to that, even though we wouldn't have the dog fetch it. But regardless of whether we've had no children as moms, one children, many children, we are blessed by our mothers. Amen. We are so blessed by you moms. We just bless you guys. There's an understanding in Scripture, which I happen to agree with. When you look at the Trinity, we have the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost. The tendency of the work of the Holy Spirit is that nurturing, kind, loving, passionate, and the reason that I would tend to agree with that thought process is that's the nature of moms. Let's face it, boys and girls, we're different. And that's not a bad thing. That's how God has designed us. But mothers just have that special nurturing love built into them innately by God. So we just, again, bless you moms today, and we celebrate this day as Mother's Day, and I trust that God will speak to us in this message today. In fact, we've entitled it the Shunem Mother. Many of you have heard about the Shunammite woman, right? And this is one and the same, but understand, by the end of the story, which we'll get to later, she wasn't just a Shunammite woman. She had no children. But due to her recognition and due to her blessing the prophet, the man of God, that by the time the story would move on, in fact, she did receive a child, even though her husband was very old. It was beyond the age. We'll get into that story in just a minute. But this is continuing on in our series about burning 24/7, because as we see, we talked about last week about the prophet Elisha, who is given to us today in this account, who last week passionately pursued and passionately followed Elijah. He would not let him out of his sight. He was seeking a double portion. He served them, scholars would say, 20 years. And all that we know that he did in those 20 years with the prophet Elijah was he poured water on Elijah's hands, this young protege, Elisha. But he was pursuing something passionately day in and day out. And church, I believe that should mark the life of believers, that we always have this fire burning, and that's that is the key scripture that we have in this series. It's from Leviticus 8, verse 13. "A fire shall always be burning on the altar." And then God underscores what he just said. He doubles down on it. "It shall never go out." It's never going out. I'm quite certain that this winter, except maybe when we went away, that fire in our basement never went out. It dwindled down at times, you know, there was times of inactivity, but we were almost always able to rekindle those coals in there. And believe me, I believe that's a true metaphor for the life of the believer, that we know we have ebbs and flows and activities, and just anointings and presence of God in between the times that we're at our places of employment, mending tents, and we are tending the children and picking up the pacifier and feeding and changing the diapers. We recognize that is life as God has ordained it. But we are to always to have that fire burning inside of us on the altar, which is our body, our sacrifice to God. Amen. So as we move forward here in the burning 24/7, we again talked about Elisha last week, who, due to his passionate pursuit of his mentor, Elijah, that when Elijah was taken up by the chariots of fire, that the mantle fell on him. And because he was there, he had asked the prophet to basically, through the power of God, that Elisha would receive a double portion of his anointing, of his blessing. Elijah said, as long as you are there when I'm taken up, you'll receive it. And so when Elijah was taken up, you know the story, the mantle fell. Elijah took the mantle. He came back to the Jordan. He crossed the Jordan River after touching and making the waters go this way and that, and crossed back across on the dry ground. As we study, we're into the life of Elisha, you're going to find out this man just burns with passion, and it's contagious. Passion is contagious. And you say, my life is, I'm feeling a little dull, I'm feeling a little low in my spiritual walk. I get that. Do me a favor, get around someone who's passionate, and you're going to find out real soon that all of a sudden, because they're on fire, you're on fire. That's how God works. You say it's a work of the Spirit. Absolutely, it's a work of Spirit. But even Jesus says, when two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. I'm in your midst. There's something about that connection with someone who has been in the presence of God. And that's why Pastor Sherry said about Phil Cappuccio, man, just a great mentor for us. And as many of you know, he's one of our presbyters here at Life Tree Church. And we're blessed by that. But when he came to give the message Thursday evening, we met him here around 5:30. And after we went over, he stayed here and he prayed. And I saw him later at the National Day of Prayer at the middle school. He said, well, I was in there praying about what God would have me speak about. I said, I was more praying for a Life Tree Church and that the presence of God would just ignite the lives of every person in this house. And frankly, I believe that is the case, by the way. Absolutely. I believe that. And I know you, and I believe that you believers in this house, you faithful believers, your light, your fire is lit. But I want to just continue to encourage each other as we see the day approaching closer, the writer of Hebrews says, right? Because the day is coming closer. See the signs. We've talked a number of months, maybe years now, about even food preparation, of possible shortages. You saw in the news this week about baby food. It's very difficult for parents to find. And they're warning parents not to do a homemade remedy. I'm thinking, what's plan B? If you go to the store and there is no baby food, what's plan B? They said, well, basically go to the government entities. They're like, you know, they're going to direct you to the government that you can count on them. And I'm thinking, well, what I'm saying that is this. If there's a baby food shortage, it won't be long, I suspect, until there's an adult food shortage as well. Be prepared. As you see the day approaching, encourage each other all the more, the Word of God says. Get around someone who's on fire. So Elisha has this double portion of the anointing of the Spirit that fell from Elijah to Elisha. And now he comes to this region of Shunem. So for those of you that like geography, this Elisha would continue to spend time on Mount Carmel, where Elijah had called fire down. And as he's there, he was headquartered there. But Elisha would, as the prophets did, they would go throughout the land. They would touch other people, other villages. They would bring the word of God. I would say one of the reasons why the prophets were risen up by God is because the priests had fallen off the wagon. And when the church doesn't do its job, I'll say the church in a figurative sense and not a literal sense, but I'll admittedly back up. I'll talk about my own group, the pastors. When the pastors fail the word of God, God will raise up a prophet. The prophet, the word, if you study I guess in Latin, pro means forward. A prophet means to speak forth the true word of God. In fact, a prophet will always talk about, the prophet in modern day will always talk about repentance and salvation through Jesus Christ. And if those messages are not coming from the pulpit of any church in the land or around the world, that they're, number one, they're not a prophet, and number two, they are missing the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ. There is salvation through repentance in Jesus Christ. And so the word always will, of a true prophet will always focus on those types of things. This city, this region called Shunem, would have been about 8 miles north of Mount Carmel. Shunem was in the region of the tribe of Issachar. You remember in Issachar, it's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, that the sons of Issachar were discerners of the times. They were discerners of what was going to be happening and what was best for their nation. And boy, I'll tell you what, God, give us sons and daughters of Issachar today to discern the times and speak forward the times and act upon the times. I pray that we would all have that anointing to discern the times so that we do not get caught blindsided. And this woman, the Shunammite, I called her Shunem. She's from Shunem. I'm like the Waterville man. I'm not a Watervillian. I like that better. The Shunem woman who had become the Shunem mother, she pressed in for that fire that Elisha carried. And as you'll see as the story goes on, she not only had a burning desire for greater things of God, but she had the burning love of a mother. I think this story, I think it fits so beautifully. I was walking across the parking lot this morning. I'm thinking, God, I'm going to find out real soon how this message is constructed was from you or was from me. And I'm trusting it was from him. Because I have a message within a message. But I thought, how beautiful for Mother's Day about this woman. We'll talk more about her as the time goes on. It says there in verse 8, I love it how it starts out. And now there came a day. There came a day. There comes a day in all of our lives when things suddenly change. I think almost all of us would remember, some of you younger ones would not. I remember where I was working the morning of 9/11. Beautiful, crystal clear blue sky that day. It was flawless. And I remember I was working at Mansfield. And I remember coming across the newscast, what was taking place in New York City. A day came and everything changed. But I also remember the day in my teenage years when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. A day came. Some people say, I can't really put a day to it. This isn't about that. It's simply a day comes in our lives when things suddenly change. And so it was for this woman. Now there came a day. Things begin to change. We know that Moses was at 80 years of age, was minding his own business, just working in his place of employment, which was serving his father-in-law, Jethro, tending the sheep. But a day came when a bush started burning. And the bush was not consumed. And the voice of the Lord began to speak from that bush, called out Moses' name. Moses says, I must turn and see. And when Moses took the time to look, to see the supernatural act, God began to speak to him and raise him up to be a deliverer for the nation of Israel from whom our Messiah would come. What an assignment. Wow. There came a day in Moses' life. Everything shifted. Everything changed in a moment. The young man, Joseph, late teens, early 20s, doing what he often did. He was the youngest at the time. I don't think Benjamin had come along at that point. Came a day when Dad says, go out and check on your brothers. They're tending sheep out there on the front 40. And he goes out there and all of a sudden his life changed forever. When his brothers were plotting to murder him, but decided that let's just make some money off of him instead. He's worth more to us alive as a slave than he is a dead corpse. A day came when things changed in Joseph's life like that. Before that moment, he was a free man. After that moment, he was a prisoner. He was sold into slavery and endured much. And he went through the testing trials that God had ordained for him so God would be able to determine, is this the man who will carry my vision, not only for Egypt, but for my people who will come here eventually? And he made it through the refiner's fire. A day came in Joseph's life. It's funny, the story of young David is no different. He had already been anointed king as a young teenager by the prophet Samuel, but he didn't know how to be a king, and it wasn't time for him. Saul was the king. But there came a day when his father came out to him and says, go check on your brothers. That just happened to be the day, day 40, that giant Goliath was coming out and continuing to intimidate the armies of the living God, and David was going to have none of it. A day came for David when he would make his mark in history, in the eyes of Israel, in the eyes of people even today, because we recount that story. We even use the metaphor in sports. Did you see I'm not a horse fan. Did you see the Kentucky Derby results? The winner, Rich Strike. It was a last minute addition on Friday for the race on Saturday, because the number 20, there's 20 horses in it. I don't know anything about horse racing, trust me. It's not a matter of I do or don't. I know nothing about it, other than the story of the Secretariat. It's just, you talk about the David and Goliath and just the power and determination, but this Rich Strike was this horse's name, was added on Friday because someone else had to cancel out. And it gets in there and it's 80-1 odds. 80-1. And boy, if you can watch that video of this horse on the last stretch come out of nowhere, wasn't even being named by the commentator. You have the two favorites who are way in front. And this Rich Strike comes bulleting along the rail, boom, past those leading horses that all the odds were for them, and boom, past them to the finish line. What a great story. We call that a David and Goliath story. Why? Because a young man named David, one day things began to change. He was sent to the battlefield. Boy, I trust that's how it is for your life. We can only take so many of those days in our lives, though, can't we? It's like, God, don't give me one more of those days this week, all right? We read the New Testament, and when we think about it, we know that much of that, the majority of that, was written by a man named Paul. Paul, the guy who would go around in a conspiracy to murder Christians, this Jew zealot. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day. That was his business until a day came. And then one day, he was on his way to Damascus, Syria, still there today, one of the oldest existing cities in the world. He was there with his companions. He had the equivalent of arrest warrants, religious arrest warrants. And the Roman government would allow them to pursue their religion. And one of them was, we're after these Christians. They had his warrants in his pocket. But all of a sudden, when that day came on his way, he was minding his own business, thinking it's going to be like every other day. This day will be the same. When bam, out of the light, out of the sky comes lightning. And the power of God knocks him down. And the voice cries out, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. One day changed his life and changed the church forever. Wow. And now there came a day when things began to change. And for this Shunammite woman became a day of action and a day of response. She was not going to let this day pass by. It says there that day that Elisha came, it says he would turn in there to eat food. You see the demonstration of kindness by this Hebrew woman, this woman of Israel, of the tribe of Issachar, where she lived in the tribe of Issachar, almost was certainly one of them. But understand that why would she feed this person? She didn't even know who he was. Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34, God says this long before that this was the law. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall do him no harm. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you yourselves were aliens in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. So this was a requirement to demonstrate love, and I'm sure many followed it, and I'm sure many didn't. But we know this woman would have been in the favor of the Lord by being obedient. She was a prominent woman in the community, we know that. But it says there in chapter, I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9. I'm going to go off on this in just a moment. She said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Like he's been coming here. We've been feeding him. All of a sudden, she gets a revelation through the Spirit, apparently. I'm perceiving something more. He's passing by. And I think what she's saying there is we're not taking full advantage to find out more about him. The presence of God. This is a man of God. And we're simply saying, yeah, we're on the outside. Here's your sandwich, sir. Have a good trip. I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. You've heard the expression, and I would say that the expression is a truism. There's a church on every corner in America. Not explicitly, but figuratively. There's nowhere in America, I believe, you can't go. You can't find the house of God. Some are better than others. Some are true. Some are apostate. I'm not saying that they're all preaching the Word of God. In fact, it is said that in America there are there's 20,000 incorporated cities, towns, boroughs, and townships. 20,000. And there are 400,000 churches by those that count such things. But yet we know that America, in many ways, the culture has gone wayward and has gone away from the Word of God and things of God. Boy, what a stir happened this week when the pending decision from the Supreme Court was released on purpose to try to stir up people. There's many churches, according to the news, they're predicting many churches services will be disrupted today. I don't know that that's happening or not. I'm not, you know, I'm here focusing on the Word of God. But I'm trusting that God will protect those services because there's many people and they are worshipers of not God, but they are worshipers of the Prince of Darkness. And they're coming in to stir up because the decision looks like it's rendered finally after 1973 that will stop the ruling they're considering, stop the national toleration for abortion and at least follow the 10th Amendment that allows decisions to be made by the states. You know, I'll give you a lesson in civics here. Not that you need it. Some of you are like, you could probably run circles around me, and I get that. But we have a 10th Amendment. Whatever is not specifically given to the federal government by the Constitution, I'm sure abortion isn't, that is given to the states. The federal government is not in charge of the states. Do you understand that? We think this is an organization and that's headquarters, and it's not. And there's this overreaching tendency by the federal government to put mandates on the state that are not given them by the Constitution of the United States. It's the 10th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And I believe what I understand is the court is going to say, yeah, this is a state's decision to make or not to make. And I would agree that constitutionally. And I would hope that all states would say yes, and we're not going to do that. We know that's not the leaning of many states right now, But I want to have some passages because of this. It's not that the Word of God is not near people. It's not that the presence of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ is not available. It's passing by people continually in America. And many Americans have chosen to not do what, to your credit, spiritually, you're doing today. It's a beautiful day. Do you notice that? It's a beautiful day out there. We've had a long winter. It would be so nice to sit outside and just get a suntan this morning. Hey, you got breakfast though, right? Praise the Lord. You guys just did a fantastic job. Thank you all for participating. But I just want to say that, yeah, but I don't want to go down that path too far, but it's almost like, you know, when God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that people have not honored God's presence, and now church is the last thing on their mind. And I want to just say, I want to go down there just because it's not that God isn't available. His presence is passing by us continually. If you have your Bibles, in fact, the scripture will appear on the screen for you. Go to Mark chapter 6, please. I'm just going to read a couple accounts. Because the Shunammite woman recognized that this prophet of God is passing by us continually. Mark chapter 6, verse 47. This is fascinating. In fact, I'm going to Jesus had just fed the 5,000. They're now going to their houses filled instead of empty like the disciples wanted. They were leaving, and so the disciples are going to go back across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, more than likely. And Jesus sends them. He sends them, and in fact, verse isn't on there. It's verse 46. He says, after bidding the disciples, he says, get on the boat and go over there. It doesn't say what he's going to do. He says, after bidding them farewell. Now, isn't that funny? Because he's God in the flesh. He knows that a storm is coming. Good luck. Good luck with that trip, guys. Farewell. He says, farewell. And he departed the mountain to pray. We start, I think, oh, okay, 47, good. Verse 47. And when it was evening, the boat was in the midst of the sea, and he, meaning Jesus, was alone on the land. And seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he was ready to rescue them. He was ready to jump in at the moment's notice. He was ready to say, ah, I missed it. I should have had a V8. I'm sorry. I should not have sent you out in the stormy sea. What does it say? He's going to pass them by. Like, Lord, you sent him there. You knew. He's going to pass them by. It seemed he was going to pass them by. Why? Well, among other reasons, apparently, according to Scripture, there's no cry out from the people, from the disciples, these godly men who are the future of the church. They're not saying a word. There's no indication. They're praying to God. Jesus, where are you? And Jesus is going to go and pass them by until they begin to cry out. They think it's a ghost at first. They begin to cry out and they shout out. And guess what Jesus does? He heeds their cry. He heeds their cry. He's going to pass by had they not said anything, had they not engaged, just like the Shunammite woman. This prophet would have kept passing by, passing by, passing by. She made a decision, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make a house for this prophet. We're going to put a bed. We're going to make it a place to stay. We're going to know more about this prophet. But it takes action. And when he got into the boat, the scripture says the wind stopped. This is a battle against nature, and I appreciate Pastor Sherry praying for, because we know not only is many of you not dealing with nature like a hurricane or a storm, you're dealing with a health issue right now. And our God is God, Jehovah Rapha. I, your God, am your healer. So we know that God has the power to heal. If you weren't here last week, I don't want to go too far, but God, what's the best way to say it? I received a miracle a week ago. It wasn't a health, well, it would have been a health issue had what could have happened happened. It was a miracle. People run into me, they said, I can't believe that. Meaning not they don't believe it. I'm not going to go through that again, but get with me later and I'll tell you. Our God is a God of miracles. Wow. The wind stopped when Jesus got into the boat because Jesus was passing by, but they called out. The next verses we're going to show you is Luke 18. Luke 18. You'll see it on the screen behind me again. Luke 18, beginning at verse 35. And it came about that as he was, meaning Jesus, was approaching Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting by the road begging. We know by Scripture his name is Bartimaeus. And now hearing a multitude going by, he began to inquire what this might be, because he couldn't see, of course. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And the blind man said, wish I could get something from him. The blind man said, man, I wish I was on the road. No. He didn't say those at all. He didn't say that. Bartimaeus didn't say that at all. It says, and he called out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He heard the crowd going by, but he couldn't see what was going on because he was blind. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And if you continue on in the story, you're going to find out that these very religious disciples who are ready to help anybody at a moment's notice, tell Bartimaeus to In 2022 English, shut up. Don't bother the master. He's passing by. But Bartimaeus has a need. And Bartimaeus fights the religious spirit. You know, it's the religious spirit that keeps so many people away from church. Do you know that? It's the religious spirit, and trust me, I've grown up in the church, and I've seen things behind the scenes that have gotten really ugly. And then the sad reality is many people will use that as a platform to say, that's why I don't want to go to church. And I do believe that, A, the people that have actually done something that was ungodly, there will be something coming someday at the judgment seat of Christ. People that knew better but still acted that way. But this is his opportunity. He's passing by, and what did he says, he cried out all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stops now. He's passing by, but he stops. Because he cried out, just like the disciples in the boat. They began to cry out, I need something. This is not just like the prophet through the Shunammite woman. He's going by. He's getting a sandwich on his way through. It's like she opened up a drive-thru. But she says, no more. We're going to stop the drive-thru. We're going to open up a cafeteria. And we're going to open up a hotel for the prophet to stay. Bartimaeus says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out all the louder. Jesus stops. Call him over. Bartimaeus finds his way over there. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He says, I want to receive my sight, Lord. He says, your faith has healed you. Go your way. And he went away seeing. And guess where he went? He began to follow Jesus and became the newest disciple. This would have taken place probably a week before Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem on his final journey to Jerusalem. But Jesus was passing by. Bartimaeus had a decision to make. And he cried out. And then one more before we move on to the Shunammite woman. In fact, I want to just touch here on this because we love birds in our house. We're bird lovers. We are. We have some of the most beautiful birds. Do you have any mockingbirds in your neighborhood? They're like crazy, right? You listen to a mockingbird, and one has resided the last couple years up in the state forest across the road. And you would say, there must be 25 different birds up there. It's one bird. And they give the most beautiful, crazy sounds out of their God. And you know what? They're like the kid that doesn't stop talking. They go all day. Yeah, they're Chatty Cathy doll, right? They just go on and on. They're beautiful. But we've underneath our back porch, we've had a robin's nest. In fact, it reminds me of the Shunammite woman. We've made actually a little place for it. We've covered it with plastic. It's under our deck. But when it rains, the water goes through. And we don't want those little chicklets to get wet. So we covered it with plastic. And that family of robins, whether it's the same one, they come back every year and they make their nest there. And they just hatched the other day, these little hatchlings. But it's so fat, these little robins. Here's what I've noticed. When mom comes and brings a worm, guess who's going to get it? Because mom's passing by with the worm. The one that's the hungriest, the one that stands up and reaches the furthest, guess what? That robin gets it. And church, that's how it is in the kingdom of God. How hungry are we? Because you can have what you want. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who sit back and relax? Is that what it says? Luke, right? How much more, Jesus said, will the Holy Spirit give to those that just wish they had a little bit more? No. Those that are like the young robin reaching out saying, God, I must have more because what I have is not enough. It's not satisfying my desire to know you more intimately. And finally, Luke chapter 19. If you had your Bibles, you're just going right into the next chapter. Luke chapter 19, verse 4. Go back to your Sunday school days. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm going to your house today. Wow, I love it. Luke 19, verse 1. And he, meaning Jesus, entered and was passing through Jericho. Here's Jesus passing through again. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Let me transcribe that for you. He was crooked. That's really what that would mean, because it was simply part of being a tax collector. And he was not liked at all by the Jewish people, even if he was one of their own, doesn't matter, which he was. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature, and he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus was about to pass through that way, and Zacchaeus had some things working against them. One was the crowd, and two was his height or lack thereof. He's in a battle. He's in a battle against other people. I want to say something, folks. My dad used to say this, too, that it's your friends that will bring you down, son. And he was right. Because when you yoke yourself, you know, we read that part in the scripture, do not be unequally yoked. We think that means only in marriage. And what I'm telling you is no. And it doesn't mean that you don't associate with the world. Paul says you must associate with the world. This is how the gospel is spread. We live in the world. But when you make them your partner, whatever way, your best friend and however you would qualify that. You're becoming unequally yoked, and it's your friends that are going to bring you down. Because the question is, how can I live for Jesus and still have the friends with these guys and girls? Trust me, this may, I don't want to sound negative, but this is the reality of it. If we unequally yoke ourselves with people that are non-believer and they become our best friends, we have an issue to deal with. He's dealing with people, and he's dealing with his own inadequacy. In this case, it was his height. So Zacchaeus had an answer. And his answer was the tree. Right? He couldn't part the crowd. He couldn't jump high enough. The answer was the tree. He climbed up in the tree. And then he was able to see it and understand the spiritual metaphor that for Zacchaeus to receive what he needed to see, he had to go to the tree. And church, I want to say something to all of us today that in this life, we need, you know, many times Jesus is passing by. He's so, I want to be honest with you, and it's not because of this preacher, it's because the Word of God is being broken open. The presence of God, the presence of Jesus Christ is passing by you today. Not from me, but from the Holy Spirit and His Word. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? And Zacchaeus went to the tree. And understand, we need to go to the tree, which is the cross. In fact, the cross is referred to actually by the apostles as the tree many times. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. Peter says this, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree." It's the tree. It's looking to the tree as the punishment for our sins that Jesus rendered that saves us. And Zacchaeus knew that in the spiritual sense, his remedy was in the tree, but what he didn't understand was in the spiritual, it would be in the tree. This same Jesus, within a week, would die on that cross on a tree in Jerusalem, not far from Jericho. So I close that portion before we finish up with the Shunammite mom. Is this, church? Everyone within hearing of my voice. Jesus is passing by continually. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that God has revealed himself in many ways. He's revealed himself in Jesus, the incarnation of God. It's written in the scriptures. People can say, I believe it or I don't believe it. He's revealed himself in the creation of nature, that we can look at the mountains and, you know, we can look at the birds that nest under my porch, and I can say either God has created them or I can believe man's edict that says, no, they are an accident of nature. Thinking, how could you be an accident of nature if there is no nature unless it's made by God? But that's another story. But my point is this, that Paul makes it clear God has revealed himself. It's man's decision whether to believe and pursue, or is he going to continually pass by? And as we sit there, we know that there's something amiss in our lives, and we know that we're not connected with Jesus as our Savior. And we're thinking, well, maybe, you know, my friends, they're going to be like, you know, they're in the way just like Zacchaeus was. And, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I'm a little afraid. I want to tell you something, folks. The answer is in the tree. As it was for Zacchaeus, so it is for us. Amen? The answer is in the tree. So I just want to finish here. I'm going to go back to our key text here in 2 Kings. And some of it I'm going to fill in the line for you. So it said there in verse 10 in our starting scripture that she made room for him. We sing that song here. Angie, I believe that question, that song, Make Room, is based on this passage here. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Make room. It says the Shunammite woman goes to her husband. We need to make room for him. So to stop him from just passing by, we have to make room for Jesus in order to know him intimately, even as we are fully known. It's going to take some effort on our part to say, God, I need to know you more. She made room for the man of God, the prophet. So one day Elisha is there. He's with his servant. His name is Gehazi. He sends Gehazi. He said, you know, they're there in the woman, the Shunammite's little apartment that she made for them. She said, go down to the woman, the Shunammite woman. She's been very kind to us. See what we can do for her. So Gehazi goes down, says to the woman, look, you've been nice to us. The prophet wants to do something. He can go to the king, put in a good word for you. What is it? And she says, I'm good. She says, I live among my own people. I live among my own people. I'm taken care of. Gehazi comes back, tells the prophet, yep, she said she's good. But let me tell you, prophet, she's never had a child. She has no son, and I believe the meaning there. She's childless. She didn't even ask for it. Prophet receives the word of the Lord, tells Gehazi, call her over here. The woman comes in and says, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. She says, oh, Lord, don't say that. Don't kid me. Oh, no, you're going to have a son. And sure enough, she would have a son, just as the prophet had given. It was a dream she had long given up on. Reminds me of the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth in the New Testament, the time of Jesus. Zacharias goes in, to the angel appears on the time he's burning incense in the Holy of Holies. The Holy Place, not the Holy of Holies. He was burning incense in the Holy Place. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, Zacharias, your prayers have been heard. He's now an old man. His wife Elizabeth is an old woman. I'm sure it's a dream they gave up on long ago. And so it was for the Shunammite woman. But the prophet says, you're going to have a son. And so it was. Her dream had been fulfilled. Time goes on. The child grows. The father is out in the field working. The son is out with him. We don't know what happened. It may have been a tragic farm accident. We don't know. But the son begins saying, my head, whatever happened, whether it was an injury or a convulsion or something, we don't know. But the father says to the servant, take him into his mom. Moms, isn't that where dads send the kids when they get hurt? Mom's going to know what to do. So the servant takes him to his mom, and mom holds the baby, the little boy, until midday. And the child dies. The dream dies. She takes the child up into that little room she had prepared and puts it on the prophet's bed. And then she says to the servant, tell my husband I need a donkey saddled. I need to go to see the prophet right away. Verse 22, that's of chapter, Second Kings chapter 4. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return. It's 8 miles away on donkey. It's like going from here to almost Waterville. Yeah, get there fast on a donkey. And the husband responds. He doesn't get it. And by all appearances, that she doesn't even tell the husband the child has died. It's not a negative or positive. You're going to see the faith of a mom here in a minute. That's the point of the story. 23. Husband says, why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it will be well. It is well. That's the verse there that the song that we all know by Horatio Spafford, It Is Well, is based on that passage right there. Going to be okay. She knows her son is dead upstairs. And she doesn't know exactly how it's going to work out, but she has faith in the man of God that she made room for. She stopped him from passing by. Now she has this godly relationship with the man of God. She was burning with desire to save her son. The husband says, why are you going to him today? It's not a church day. It's not Sunday. I put it this way, the world will never understand someone's passion to pursue the things of God. When you begin to talk about miracles, people think you're crazy. And again, people even, I haven't said anybody, no one's said to me what happened to me a week ago that you're crazy. Of course, I'm pretty careful who I talk to. But the world doesn't understand. Their natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God because these things are spiritually discerned, not carnally. She goes down to Mount Carmel where the prophet is. Verse 28. She goes into the prophet finally, gets into Elisha. She meets Gezi first, and then she gets to the prophet. She said, "Did I ask for a son from the Lord? Did I not say, don't deceive me?" And what she's saying is this: I didn't ask for this son. You came to me. It reminds me of the story of Abraham. I don't see in a scripture where Abraham asked for a son. But God gave him a son with the plan. That was the plan. I didn't ask for the son. And now what is she saying? And he's able to discern the child's dead. Verse 29. Then Elisha said to Gezi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him. And lay my staff on the lad's face." And you can see that Elisha is sending his delegate with his staff, his what signified the office of the prophet, go up to the woman's house and lay it on the child. But this woman was not going to be deterred. She's not going to allow the prophet to pass by, and now she's not going to allow the prophet to stay where he is. And the mother of the lad said, "As the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you. I'm not going to leave this place without you. I need you to come." So it says Elisha went, and he went with the woman. So Gezi's already on his way to meet with the child. They are now following after. Verse 32, and we'll close this out. They get up to the house. Gezi comes to them and says, "Child is still dead. I did what you said. The child is dead." Verse 32 of chapter 4. Then Elisha came into the house, and behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both, and he prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on the mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. And he returned and he walked in the house once back and forth, and went up and stretched himself on him, and the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. And Elisha called Gezi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman, call the Shunammite mother." So he called her, and she, when she came into him, he said, "Take up your son." Then she went and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son, and she went out because she made room for him. She made room for God who was passing by. So as I close, what you see in this story is the faith of the woman. But what you also see is the love that only a mother can have. I remember my mother used to say this to us: if you had a godly mother, you are blessed. And if you didn't, you're blessed regardless. Please don't take that out of context. My mother said, "Boys, I want to see you all in heaven." She wanted my sister to be in heaven too, but it was always the boys that were the troublemakers for the most part. And she will. Because even though we all went different ways, we all are believers in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are now pursuing Him. What you see is not only the faith of the woman and the love of the mother, but the power of God to bring the dead to life. Only God has the power of resurrection. Amen. So I close with this. Jesus is passing by today. When I was a kid, we sang hymns in our church, and I'm not against them, of course. But we had one that I loved so much. It's by a woman named, her name is Fanny Crosby. She was one of the most prolific writers. It says she wrote thousands of songs, thousands of gospel church songs. A Blessed Assurance, you may have heard that. That was hers. To God Be the Glory, that was her song. She wrote many of the songs you would know, but one of the songs that she wrote was it's called this: "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." And I just want to read it to you. She writes, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Amen. Church, that's my prayer for you today. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but Jesus is passing by today. His Spirit is here. And I just want to encourage you, you know, when the Bible says today is the acceptable day of salvation, for we do not know what tomorrow holds. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God. Some of you say, I don't even know Him. Today is the day. He's passing by. He's here. Don't put it off till tomorrow. For those of you that are just, your fire has gone out, I know of no other remedy than the power of the Holy Spirit to rekindle that fire. And He will do that. How do I know that? Because that's what Jesus says. It's pretty simple. How much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those of you who ask? Amen. The altar call is very simple. As we begin, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. As we begin to sing, before we do that, I will pray. And I'm going to pray for those of you that have not received Jesus Christ, that you will do that today. He's here. He's passing by. This is why they call this faith. I got to do check this box, and walk across America on my hands, and then I'm a Christian. No, it's a decision. A man confesses with his mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in his heart he will be saved. God raised him from the dead. Paul says you will be saved. I trust that if you have never done that, today would be your day. He's passing by. And for those of you that need your fire rekindled, my prayer for you is the Holy Spirit fire will come upon every one of you that's saying, God, I need more. My embers are pretty low. That fire would be rejuvenated. Amen. Please stand with us. God, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that you are passing by this place, this house. I thank you, Father, for the Shunammite mother that would go and do anything that it took to have her son restored to life. She had the faith. She had the passion. She was burning 24/7 for the things of God. And Father, I pray, I thank you for the love of a mother that would move heaven and earth to restore the life of their child. God, right now, I thank you, Father, for each person in this house and those in the hearing of my voice. I pray, God, for those that do not know you, that they will reach out to you as you're passing by today. They will attach themselves to the tree of Calvary, acknowledging your death and your resurrection, and that you paid the penalty for our sins. Thank you. God, for those in this house that would say, Lord, my embers are low. God, I pray for those that would simply ask. As they ask right now, you would light a Holy Spirit fire, and their flames, dear God, would be unquenchable through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would burn 24/7. God, I bless each person here today. I thank you, Father, that we have made this the priority. They have made this the priority to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray you will bless each one for their obedience and their faithfulness. Thank you, God, in closing, for the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved except the name of Jesus. What a beautiful, beautiful name. So as we sing that name right now, dear God, I pray you'll take it as incense on the altar right now. And it will just be a pleasing aroma to you. This is our testimony. We sing out the beautiful name of Jesus. And for this we give you thanks in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Sing with us as we begin to close.
Jesus, we just thank you, Lord.
Lord.
That nothing can stand against us.
Lord.
What a powerful name you is,
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, we thank you that we are here this morning, God, to hear such a powerful message, God. Father, I pray that we don't pass you by ever, Lord. From this day forth, God. That we continually to reach and run after you. What a powerful name. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom and yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Jesus is passing by, folks. He's there. Trust me, I have the Word of God, and you don't have to believe me. I think you do, by the way. His presence is here. Call out to you, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable truths that you do not know. So, God, that's our prayer today as you're passing by. I pray that each one will grab on and hold to you and say, God, I need more. I need your grace. I need your salvation. I need the tree, the cross. I need your wisdom. I need your healing. I need what only you can give. You are passing by continually. Thank you, Father. We recognize you today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you just be seated just for one moment, please. We'll just give you one or two announcements and we'll dismiss you. Prayers. My apologies. Back to Wednesday, May 11th, 6 p.m. It's a powerful time of teaching, powerful time of worship, powerful time of prayer. Please come and join us Wednesday, May 11th at 6 p.m. And happy Mother's Day. You moms, you're an amazing group of people. I could go on and on about my mom, and many of you could as well. But like I said, my mom says, I want to see you all in heaven, boys. I want to see you all in heaven, every one of you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Happy Mother's Day. We love you. You are dismissed. Are we done, Angie? She's the worship leader. Are we done? Pastor Sherry has something, and then you are dismissed.
I just want to make sure. I don't know if you got my text last night.
Uh-oh.
The little gifts out there. Is that taken care of? All right.
Oh. All right. So we have gifts for moms, right? Right?
Yes.
We have gifts for moms as you leave. We have gifts for you. We love you guys. Would you please stand? God, we thank you, Father, for your grace, your love, your mercy, your strength. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit will go with this family of believers as we leave this place. Until we meet again, we will glorify your name in all things. Protect us in all things as we travel, Father. I don't know why I'm saying that, but God, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray a power of the authority of the Holy Spirit over each one, each family in this house today, this week, dear God, in the coming days. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys. Happy Mother's Day. You are dismissed.